Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Buckle up because it's a busy day of sports news. Two of the top prospects in baseball will make their debut tonight against Cleveland. We are hours away. We just heard from the GM, Jerry DePoto. We've got that sound for you in literally 1 minute. Plus, we want to send you to see these guys yourself. Here's what's happening. Stay tuned to 710 ESPN Seattle all day long as we're giving away a pair of Mariners tickets every hour until 6 p.m. Listen all day for the cue to call, and you could win a pair of tickets to the May 19th. That's not tonight, May 19th, the upcoming series, Mariners game at T-Mobile this upcoming homestand. Find ticket prices and more information about special offers for this vaccinated section at mariners.com/vaccination. Jake, back to the topic at hand.
Stacy, that's a pretty good deal. I last night just messing around, just wanted to see what the value of the tickets look like. Uh-huh. And they have skyrocketed. Everybody wanting to see Jared Kelnick, Logan Gilbert. You talk about the tickets over the weekend. I mean, my goodness, Stacy. So if any of you were fortunate enough or lucky enough, you guys just wanted to go to the ballpark and just get some tickets. DJ, what'd you say? You got your tickets on Monday. What were they?
Oh, yeah, like $30.
Oh, man, what a steal. Got your tickets for $30. Man, you
DJ,
were ahead
you can
of the
sell
curve.
Those.
Man, you could sell those. The return on those could be massive. But this is an exciting moment, Stacey.
It is a huge... Oh, one more thing. The Pac-12 has announced its new commissioner. So Bruce Feldman will be joining us to talk about the new Pac-12 commissioner coming up at 11:45. So don't go anywhere. We have so much news for you. We have interviews. Rick Riz also joining us. Daniel Kramer of MLB.com. It's Mariners. It's new Pac-12 commissioner. It's all kinds of stuff. And most importantly, Jake, it is the debut of Jared Kelnick and Logan Gilbert tonight. Logan Gilbert going to get the start. Kelnick presumably going to be in the lineup. So let's go ahead and start here. Let's talk about where he's going to hit. Well, Jerry DePoto was on with Danny and Gallant this morning. Cut number one. Here's what he had to say.
Wherever he wants to bat. I think the reality you saw, we had him in Tacoma. We hit him lead off throughout the spring. We in co-op and spring training, we hit him lead off. And we were doing it to maximize the number of plate appearances he got. He was getting 4 or 5 a day. And I think the same thing generally holds true. But more importantly, in this group of players that we currently have, we feel like Jared has the on-base skills. He has the discipline in his approach. And he's a fire starter. He gets things going. So I think you'll see him more often than not hitting at the top of the lineup.
Top of the lineup. If you thought that Jared Kelnick, they were just going to, baby him. They were going to, put him in the back of the lineup, maybe try to protect him, just let him get his feet wet. Oh, no. They're putting him towards the top of the lineup, and they are. Yeah, hey, look, I know he's joking. Scott Service is going to ultimately determine that, but I would not be surprised if he is the leadoff guy tonight. And to be honest with you, I like this. And the reason why I like it is because it just goes to continue to signify that they didn't just call this guy up because things were struggling. They didn't call this guy up just because and they were scared about, oh man, is he ready or not? They feel more than confident that he is ready for the show. They are more than confident that he can contribute right away, and they are putting their money where their mouth is, so to speak, by putting him right in the top of the order.
Now, we had Jonathan Mayo on yesterday, and the first question I asked him, because I was shocked that Kelnick was brought up right now. I was expecting it to be at least a bit later this month. And he said that he wasn't too surprised. Jerry DePoto was asked why Kelnick is being called up. Cut number two.
It's the reality is where we are in 2021 is just different than any other minor league season. And what looks like, 6 games against Triple-A pitching has actually been a month and a half. The players who would otherwise have been in Double-A, Triple-A, they were playing in Arizona or in Alt Sites somewhere. And that's, these players have been accruing experience. We just didn't register it. So it's not showing up on an internet website. It's not going to be logged on the back of a baseball card, but it did happen.
Now, outside of internet website, what's your favorite part about that answer, Jake?
Well, my favorite part about that answer is saying, look, we would have called this guy up last year if we would have gotten more opportunities. And also saying that, hey, you weren't able to see this on the stat sheet. We weren't able to record this because it was unorthodox. But also, he's got a point that Jared Kelnick wasn't the only guy that at the AAA level was having to play down and play in Arizona and play in the off-field site games. I mean, there were lots and lots of talent down there. So he was accruing experience against top-level talent while he was there. And then you add that to the actual games in Cheney Stadium, and there you have it. You feel like you've gotten the repetitions, that the plate appearances that he needed for his development, as Jerry DePoto said. But on the other side, you know, you look at Logan Gilbert, him starting today after his call-up, Stacey, that one really surprised me, because the conversation was more about, you know, Logan Gilbert's going to take a little while. They want to protect him. They want to make sure that everything's okay. And here's cut number three talking about what the actual plan for Gilbert has always been.
You know, from the start of spring training, from the end of last season, August, September of last year, we had talked about with Logan building an inning count and slowing down the start of his season so that we could manage him through the end of the season. You know, and we're hoping to be able to get him out there 110, 120-ish innings, and, you know, we'll govern that or measure it as we go. We don't want to be hard fixed, but that's the goal. And, you know, right about middle of May was going to be the point where a series of 5 to 6 inning starts were going to land us in that zone. So this was always the plan with Logan.
And so when you hear that, that makes you feel a little bit more comfortable in terms of, look, Logan Gilbert would have been up last year given a full season of work. They've gone through the process. They feel like they've been able to get him the work that he needs in order to get up to the big league level. But they thought that he was a big league player. They thought that he was a guy that could have been there last year, much like Kelnick. So the timeline now makes sense. And here in cut number four, if you're wondering who is Logan Gilbert and what he brings to the table, Jonathan Mayo had an absolutely outstanding profile of him on our show yesterday describing what kind of pitcher he thinks he is.
I think he would have been in the big leagues last year if not for the shutdown. He's just nasty. You know, we're talking from a 6'6 frame, 4 above average to plus pitches. He's got a fastball up into the upper 90s. And one of the things, and we talk about leadership, he's kind of set the bar for pairing among all minor league pitchers at a really, really high bar. No one is going to outwork this guy. And he's got ridiculous stuff in that 6'6" frame to boot.
So, Stacey, all that sounds great, right? We are excited about these guys. We are pumped up. I cannot wait. I don't know how long it's been since I've gotten to a Mariners game where literally it's 11 o'clock and I'm looking at this like I do the Seahawks games where I am anxious. I am ready to go. Like, let's get to game time right now. But here's why I think we all feel this way. The Mariners own the longest playoff drought in major American sports, right? I mean, like, think about that. The longest playoff drought in all sports right now. And the streak is 20 years now, right? Us Mariners fans collectively have been through the ringer over the last 20 years. There have been other moments of promise of the next big prospect or the rebuild and half measures and trying to buy your way through this. We've been through it all over the last 20 years. But this feels different. This feels completely different to me. This feels legitimate. And today is the moment that the Mariners signal to its fans and the rest of Major League Baseball that a new era of Mariners baseball is here. Today, Stacey, the Mariners are making a statement with the call-up of their own homegrown talent of Jared Kelnick and Logan Gilbert that they are moving on to the next phase of building a contender. This is a monumental moment. Does it signify that they're going to win today and that they're going to make the playoffs? No, but this starts the clock, Stacey, in terms of when they are going to get themselves to become a contender and when they're outlining when that plan is going to happen.
Yeah, and that's how I'm seeing it too. It's like I'm a mix of I'm excited to see these two tonight, especially because I didn't think that we'd see either this early. In fact, yesterday when we were talking with Jonathan Mayo of MLB Pipeline and we were like, hey, tell us about Jared Kelnick, we afterwards, at the end of the interview, he mentioned, oh, there's so many other guys we'd love to talk about. And you and I were both like, we would love to have you back on. In my mind, I'm thinking, love to have you back on to talk about Logan Gilbert before his debut. An hour later, after we hang up with him, what is it? It's ESPN's Jeff Passan / Jeff Passan saying, oh, Logan Gilbert also going to make his debut. Not only debut, I mean, he's going to start. He's not even being called up to start in 3 days. He's starting now. I mean, it was so unexpected. And so there was a lot of excitement, an initial rush of excitement. I know I am not alone with that. I know everyone listening right now, if you are a Mariners fan, if you gave up on being a Mariners fan because you've been burnt so many times, you still thought, well, wait a minute. My ears are perking up. My eyes are opening here. I'm sorry. What was that? Logan Gilbert and Jared Kelenic making their debut tonight. This is huge. This is huge. We all decided leading into the show tonight marks one of the most important moments in Mariners history. Like,
it really
yes,
does.
I mean, I am talking about just the excitement level, the hope level, here's what it is. It's not a playoff game. It's not a huge win. It's not a huge signing. What it is a promise that has been made to Mariners fans who have so often been let down for so long. There are Mariners fans listening right now that don't remember the playoffs because they were too young. I mean, I was 10 years old, like, the last time we were in the playoffs. There are Mariners fans listening right now that are like, what's that like? I couldn't tell you. That Mariners fans, old and young, have been given so many promises. Oh, Robinson Cano, man, this is going to work out. Oh, Dustin Ackley, number 2 overall, he's going to work out. Oh, we took this catcher at 3. We took this pitcher at 8, whatever it is. It's oh, we're spending. We brought in Nelson Cruz. You've been given so many promises. This is a new one, and you're right, Jake. It feels different. But more than just being a moment of excitement, this feels like a moment of importance. I don't know that Jared Kelenic's going to come out and hit a home run in his first at-bat. I don't know that Logan Gilbert is going to have a good night. Maybe Jared goes 0-for-4 and Logan Gilbert gets taken out of the third. Maybe that happens. Will it change my mind on what I think either can be? No. But what tonight feels like is a moment where you're turning a promise into an action. The first moment of that. And I have a lot of anxiety, a lot of excitement, an underlying sense of frustration and anger, too, that I think a lot of fans have. And it's not any of the fault of any of the players with the organization right now. But you've just got this kind of impatience combined with hope that is, I think, unique to Mariners fans. And
right.
And it's buying in every year and being frustrated because you're a sports fan and you love to win, but then still believing. And this has been the biggest reason to believe this team has given fans in years. And you get to see
it really make
the turn.
Yeah, it really is. And there are going to be fans out there that, you know, are the same pessimistic Mariners fans that say, hey, this is the same song, the same story. But you look at Jared Kelenic and the conversations that are around him, this is one of the most complete players that we have seen come through the farm system in quite some time. I mean, as we've said before, this call-up is more of the ilk of Ken Griffey Jr., Alex Rodriguez, Felix Hernandez than any of the other failed top prospects that you've seen. This is a guy that's recognized nationally as being one of the better prospects, not just being a top five guy, we've had those, but being a complete hitter, being a guy that can not just come up and contribute and have great promise, but that the consensus is that this guy, when the moment he steps at the big league level, that he's going to have great success because of his approach at the plate, because of his skill set, because of his talent. And I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see Logan Gilbert with all of his plus stuff that we just heard from Jonathan Mayo as we played a cut earlier. What this also is important, Stacey, there's this feeling of anxiety a little bit because this needs to work. This has to work. This organization has pinned their hopes on this working out, that Jared Kelenic in particular is going to be a star, that Logan Gilbert can be a big part of this starting rotation, not just now, of today, but of the future. And they are marking themselves as of today that they are ready to start coming out of the rebuilding process, that they're moving on to phase 2 of this thing, then there will be phase 3 and phase 4, but ultimately that in phase 2, at the end of phase 2, if things are going right, Stacey, that you are going out and spending money, you are going out and being aggressive, you are doing everything you can as an organization to really start putting together a contender, and that is an exciting, exciting moment for Mariners fans, especially when, you know, the initial move was made 3 years ago, hey, we're going to rebuild this thing and tear it down to the studs. Mm-hmm. Now we're seeing in year 3 that its best prospect and its 2 best prospects are up at the big league level because their development has been seamless you know, for that matter.
You've been building the car, Jake. At a certain point, you finally got to lay on the gas and just see what you got there. This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. It is 11:15. That means it's time for Three Questions, brought to you by Tila Mortgage.
It's time for Three Questions.
Can't wait for it.
Every day at 11:15, three burning questions for Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
That's the dumbest question you could ask. What?
All right, we've been talking about them for 15 minutes, but I need some predictions. What are some fair expectations for the debuts of both Jared Kelenic and Logan Gilbert?
Two home runs,
10 strikeouts. I think those are realistic expectations. I think with Jared Kelenic, look, I think realistic expectations, I guess, from what I think of the kid and what his mental makeup is, I think he gets a hit tonight, if not a home run. He's one of those guys. Big time players come up big in big time moments, right? And Kelenic is one of those guys, and he has proven that throughout his minor league career. Now he's stepping up to the bigs, and it's a different ball game. It's different pitching, but I think Kelenic is ready for the moment, and I think he's ready to put on a show. And what I was impressed with him when I saw him at Cheney Stadium was he did not chase any pitches. He is a guy that is extremely patient, is going to let it come to him. He's not going to go make himself look silly trying to hit the ball out of the park. That's not what you're going to see from him tonight. You're going to see a very measured, mature approach at the plate, and I think it's going to pay off dividends for Kelenic tonight. And Logan Gilbert, man, the adrenaline's going to be running through his veins, that is for sure. And I think that Gilbert is going to come out and have a nice night. I would expect a five-inning five-inning outing for Logan Gilbert
tonight. I think a five-inning outing would be phenomenal. Four or fewer. Like, don't walk eight. You know what I mean? I think for Kelenic, I think a hit. At this point where this offense is, you combined six hits, two of them from Mitch Haniger, and two of them were home runs. Two runs and two hits from Haniger. Combined six hits over your last series. Two hits last night, one from France, one from Moore, and your only score was an RBI single. You had one guy in a runner in scoring position. I mean, a hit. A hit would be a good night because you'd so far be one of a handful of guys to get one. So a hit for Kelenic, a great night. Like, I am convinced, Jake, here's what we were talking about earlier. If Kelenic, this is a long shot, if Kelenic hits a home run on his first at bat, it's game over. People will anoint him a savior, and there will be such high expectations that will feel impossible to meet. And so it's like it's a double-edged sword if that happens, but it'd be cool to see.
Number two.
All right, well, in other news, which is weird to say about the Seahawks, their 2021 schedule was fully released yesterday. Which matchup for the Seahawks do you guys have circled? You can only pick one.
Only pick one?
Please,
man.
Please.
Okay, please. I'm going to say the Thursday night matchup, week five, against the Rams. I mean, they seem to always be playing the Rams on Thursday night, but I think that this one's going to be huge. This is going to be monumental. Can they redeem themselves after that wild card loss? Do it in prime time. Can Shane Waldron outduel Sean McVay offensively? What does Matt Stafford look like? There's a lot of excitement and a lot of hype and buildup into what the Rams have done. And I'm excited to see the Seahawks take it to them at home on Thursday night. So, in that action green. So week five is what I got circled.
Yeah, I did both games against the Rams. Were kind of the big ones for me because it's the best team in your division. When Jake and I had to decide what's the best team in the NFC West right now, I said the Rams because, I'm sorry, but until the Seahawks prove otherwise and beat them, and the Rams, they beat one against the Rams, but I mean, the Rams beat you in the playoffs, knocked you out of the playoffs last year with a worse offense. So until then, you've got to unseat them. Even though you were the NFC West champs, they embarrassed you in the playoffs. And so I think the two games against the Rams are the easy ones. There's a game against the Packers after a bye. So that could be one where it's like you're healthier. You know, you're going to be facing Jordan Love. So we'll see what you look like in that game. But yeah, I'd say any of the top NFC teams like the Packers and then the Rams.
Number three.
Well, we have a new commissioner for the Pac-12 Conference of Champions. And his name is, I'm really hoping I'm saying this right, George Kliavkov? Is that how you say it, Stacey? Is that what we decided?
I think it's Kliavkov.
Kliavkov. Okay.
Oh, boy. This is
I've been
be
watching
disaster.
A lot of YouTube videos. It's going to be fine. It'll be fine.
Well, how can George avoid the same mistakes that Larry Scott did?
How can he avoid them? By actually paying attention to what's going on in college athletics. That's what I think. And also, this isn't about you. This isn't about you. This is about what you can do for the people that you are representing. That's what this is about. That's what your job is. This is not your show. And Larry Scott, it was all about him. He was the one person that he cared about in his TV deal and his media market and that approach working out. That I am just, I need to learn more about this guy. But from my first initial just reaction is I don't like this. I am extremely nervous about this. And I think that once you've gone down this road, you saw it once, you signed up for it again. And he might be more, you know, this guy might be more willing to work with the ADs and with the different schools a lot better than Larry Scott. But still, he knows nothing about college sports, knows nothing about, you know, how it works and the inside out of that. And so it makes me extremely nervous.
How you avoid repeating the mistakes of Larry, of Lair Bear, is to check your hubris at the door. Like, that was his big mistake, right? And what was so frustrating for people is it's not even confidence in your plan. It is the hubris that the way you're doing it must be right. You have the answer, and any sign pointing to you falling behind the other conferences and making huge mistakes, you're ignoring. Any sign that you're spending money on the wrong thing, like, I don't know, headquarters in the Bay Area or whatever, instead of the more modest headquarters, the SEC, you know, a nice conference, that must be misleading. So you need to pay attention when people are telling you mistakes are being made and not be so blindly confident in yourself that your confidence turns to cockiness and hubris. That's what you need to do, because that was Larry Scott's big mistake. I got a text in. Can I read it to you, Jake? It's kind of bittersweet, but this
sure.
reminds me of the way that I know a lot of people that are in a similar situation, given what the Mariners mean to the city, and then the way that baseball and sports fandom is passed through families. So someone texted in from the 206, and he or she said, "Today is a bittersweet day. I'll never forget getting a phone call from my older sister, who was a huge Mariners fan. I was living in China at the time. She gave me a FaceTime call midnight in 2018 saying, 'Seattle got this power hitter who reminds us of Jay Buhner.' Sadly, my sister passed away July 2020. So, like, it's a bittersweet night watching this game for this listener, this texter, but still a really... You know what I mean? Like, it reminds me a lot of, I don't know, my uncle was a huge Mariners fan and passed away 3 years ago. And I just sometimes, anytime the Mariners do something that feels like something's finally changing, you think of the people that maybe aren't around to see it anymore because they shared in that fandom with you. I don't know. It always reminds me of those kinds of fandom that is shared throughout a family kind of thing. And baseball's unique in that way.
Yeah, no, it definitely is unique in that way. And wow, incredible story. Thank you for texting that in. Thank you for sharing with us. It will be a monumental and special moment.
All right. So we are going to have Bruce Feldman joining us in 15 minutes to talk about the new Pac-12 commissioner. And I will look up how to pronounce his name correctly. I think it's George Kliavkov. I'll get it. Don't worry. I'll nail it. Before we talk to him, though, Mike's all going to join us next to help us preview what Logan Gilbert and Jared Kelnick will show you tonight.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
Mike Salk joining us now, brought to you by Jafco Plumbing and Sewer. Mike, Jake and I were talking about fair expectations for both Logan Gilbert and Jared Kelnick tonight. I said three home runs, which is fair. No, I said maybe just get a hit. Like, a hit would be solid. What are fair expectations for you when it comes to these two guys?
Oh, I thought you were just hoping to make sure Logan Gilbert keeps it under three home runs. Okay.
That would be great, too. Keep it under three home runs and then three home runs for Jared.
My expectations for them, I guess, are a little bit different. I mean, you know, I haven't seen as much of Gilbert. We haven't had nearly as much of an opportunity to kind of see everything he has. I do think he'll sneak up on some major leaguers. He's got the long arms. His stuff plays even better than the speed because of where he's letting it go and some of the arm angles. So, yeah, I think he will surprise Cleveland a little bit, and I think you could see him have some success. You know, he's only going to be in a pitch count. DePoto has said, 80 to 85 pitches. So if he can make it through five innings, I think you're pretty happy. Five innings, one or two runs. And that's an incredibly successful debut for Logan Gilbert. As for Kelnick, I said it to you yesterday. There's just something about him, right? He's one of those guys with a flair for the dramatic, and those players exist in sports. He could absolutely go 0-for-4. It happens in baseball all the time. But for some reason, he just strikes me as a guy who will hit a home run in his first at bat, who will walk it off somehow with a big double, who will just do something interesting to immediately make his presence known. And even if he does, it doesn't mean that his future will be any better than if he goes 0-for-4 tonight. He just strikes me as somebody who will find a way to do something unique, interesting, and important.
Salk, you talked about the next phase of Mariners baseball. We've talked about how excited we are for today, but we also talked about how there's this underlying anxiety that you have because this is an important day. Like, this isn't just an exciting day. This is a very important day, and not important in the results of what happens of today, as you had just mentioned, but what this signifies, what this signals to Mariners fans, this organization, and what they're telling Major League Baseball that this organization is turning into at this point.
Yeah, because you put all your eggs in these baskets, right? You've been waiting and waiting. You took the incredible step to strip everything down to the bare knee, you know, as low as it could go in order to start this process of bringing back some real big-time talent, and now it's finally here. It's like if you've planned a vacation really, really far in the distance. You're like, okay, I'm going to go on this big 2-week trip, and I'm putting everything into it, and I can't wait. And then all of a sudden, a couple days beforehand, and you're like, I'm not getting sick, am I? I go cold. I hope I'm not getting sick. Checking the weather wherever you're going. It looks like it's going to rain every single day that I'm there. I mean, like, you start getting that nervous energy because this has been a thing that you've sacrificed for. And I think that's very much what Mariners fans have done. They've sacrificed for this moment. They've been willing to say, okay, we'll deal with the lower payroll short term. We'll deal with a team that isn't going to be in contention short term. We'll deal with some tough nights at the ballpark, not to mention some tough times during free agency and the trades where you're just not going after these big time players. And all of a sudden, all of that sacrifice is about to start to matter. And you really don't know if it's going to work because at the end of the day, they're real human beings and you don't know how they're going to play out.
Do you think this is one of those things where it's like it works or it doesn't? I mean, that's I guess what I mean to ask is, like, if Kelnick doesn't end up being the best thing ever in 2021, do you just go in? Do you spend more money in free agency? I mean, are there more approaches to making this a World Series caliber team than just let's hope these prospects work out?
Well, the nice thing is he's not your only prospect. You don't just need Kelnick to work out. And by the way, he may or may not in 2021, and it won't necessarily signify what he'll be in 2022 and beyond. So, you know, judging a prospect based on the first few months of their career probably isn't a great long-term plan. But I do think you continue to go all in. You've now signified that you're ready to go start winning and competing. You're bringing up Kelnick. You're bringing up Gilbert. You know, listening to Jerry talk about Julio Rodriguez this morning on with Danny and Gallant. And, yeah, it'll be a little while because he hasn't had too many at-bats, but he's not that far away. And you've got Cal Raleigh, and you've got some other kids that, you know, Emerson Hancock, that you think can move quickly through your system. You've got to go put the pieces around them to let everybody compete and allow them to work themselves in. So I would absolutely expect that this offseason is going to be a big spending offseason for Jerry DePoto and the Mariners. They have to. They've got to go in on more starting pitching. They've got to help their bullpen, and they probably need a significant upgrade in the infield.
Yeah, fully agree with all that. Salk, what did you make of you talking about listening to Jerry DePoto on with Danny and Gallant this morning? Listen to cut number one and him talking about where Kelnick is going to hit.
Wherever he wants to bat. I think the reality you saw, we had him in Tacoma. We hit him lead off throughout the spring. We in co-op and spring training, we hit him lead off.
And we were doing it to maximize the number of plate appearances he got. He was getting four or five a day. And I think the same thing generally holds true. But more importantly, in this group of players that we currently have, we feel like Jared has the on-base skills. He has the discipline in his approach, and he's a fire starter. He gets things going. So I think you'll see him more often than not hitting at the top of the lineup.
So Salk, doesn't sound like they're gonna baby him in and ease him in the back half of the lineup. Do you think he's gonna be the leadoff guy today?
I mean, it sure makes it sound as if that's a pretty good possibility. Scott's going to be the one to make up the lineup, and, you know, I don't know that that's where I would have him hit. It's interesting that Jerry says he can hit wherever he wants long term. I can't imagine that if given all of the opportunities, that's where Jared Kelnick would choose to hit. I would assume that if, you know, behind closed doors and given truth serum, he would say he wanted to hit third, and that's kind of where I imagine him long term. But they've got a bunch of guys who can play some different roles in your lineup. Mitch Haniger's another one who can hit anywhere from first to third, right? So I think at the end of it, batting lineups don't matter that much. But I will admit to some surprise, I would not have guessed that they saw him as a leadoff kind of hitter.
All right. He is Mike Salk, joins us every weekday at 11:30. Thanks, Mike.
All right, guys. Can't wait for tonight. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. The Pac-12 has a new commissioner officially, George Kliavkov. But who is he? You're not alone if you don't know that name. So Bruce Feldman going to join us next and help us learn a bit more about the new Pac-12 commish.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
Joining us now, it is Bruce Feldman, reporter for Fox Sports, a writer for The Athletic, college football. Bruce, I want to get to a story you wrote about Chris Peterson, obviously someone that we love to talk about here, had a huge legacy here for Washington. Before we get to that, though, I have to talk about the new Pac-12 commissioner. I got to be really honest, I did not know who he was. Can you tell us a bit about him?
I can be really honest, and I did not know who he was either.
It makes you feel better.
And like most people do. I'm not going to lie about that. So, you know, we reported this morning, you know, after I heard the name come up, some of the things that what was interesting to me is you usually do not replace somebody, and you see this in coaching all the time, with the guy you forced out is usually not replaced by somebody who feels like the same kind of optics. Larry Scott was an outsider to college athletics when he took over. Didn't do great, you know, let's be honest. And Kliavkov also doesn't have much college sports experience, so he's another outsider. But the things that I was told about him that I think do bode well is he is a guy who has just, you know, been an executive and has gotten a lot of stuff done and has shepherded some big deals through situations where they were going through significant change. And if you think about college sports right now, it is going through significant change with NIL, TV rights deals, and certainly the talk of college football playoff expansion, just to name a few. So that's significant. And I also thought that just he concluded his press conference, and I thought he said a lot of things that were very reasonable and very self-aware. And so those things are, you know, he talked about going on a listening tour, as he put it, to meet with ADs and coaches. And that's important because I think one of the things that happened with Larry Scott is you felt like he really didn't listen. And I think when the Pac-12 leadership talked about what was so intriguing about Kliavkov was, in addition to his experience and the deals he made, he knows what he knows, and probably more importantly, he knows what he doesn't know. And that felt like something you wouldn't hear a lot about Larry Scott.
Yeah, I would fully agree with that on Bruce. Now, Kliavkov, as you mentioned, has a very unique background. Now, he has tremendous strengths, and he has one very obvious glaring weakness in the sense that he hasn't worked really in the sports industry. He hasn't worked at the collegiate level. What does he have to do to make up for that in your mind? What would be a huge win for him in the Pac-12, if him being able to overcome that lack of football experience or athletic
I really think it comes back to there's a lot of good resources around in this league. You look at football, there's a bunch of people who've coached and had success at high levels of football. Like, learn from them. Listen to them. Find out what they think is lacking. You know, it's not Larry, you know, having said that, it's not Larry Scott's fault that the flagship program of the Pac-12 in football has been spinning its wheels, right? You know, if Larry Scott was the commissioner when Pete Carroll was the head coach at USC and things were rolling, a lot of these issues that the Pac-12 is dealing with wouldn't be seen as issues at all, right? And that's not Larry Scott's fault. But there are other things that actually, you know, they could have managed better. And I think those are the challenges that face him right now, things that I think that Kliavkov, as he will take this job, can, you know, there's some really good ADs in the league. There's a great AD in, you know, basically in your backyard there. You know, there are people who are very forward-thinking, and there's also people who, while they're forward-thinking, also get college athletics, right? You know, listen to the Jen Collins of the world on that front. You know, Larry Scott, I felt like, was more concerned about being innovative for almost innovation's sake rather than remembering to keep some of the main thing. And just from the, you know, first glance, and it's, you know, winning the press conference doesn't go that far, but I thought this couldn't have gone much better in terms of how he explained his vision and what he seems like he's walking into. Like, I you know, look, the reality is, after Larry Scott, I think the Pac-12 doesn't have much benefit of the doubt when it comes to outsiders. If people are going to be like snickering and they're going to be skeptical, and they have every right to do that, you know? So, I'm interested to see how this goes, because he had a very, you know, good first appearance.
He's going to have a long to-do list, and so will the other commissioners in college football and college sports, right? There's the names, images, and likeness stuff that's going to be happening for the Pac-12, especially. There's the media deals and overlooking that. What's going to be maybe his most imminent priority as commissioner?
You know, he talked a lot about the playoff and being on the record about being vocal for the expansion. What that looks like, he said, you know what, he's not privy to certain things yet to know what is in the best interest of college football and certainly the Pac-12. But I think that's going to be something you're looking at in June. June's not far off. So,
right.
You know, there's that. I think, you know, he talked about getting the Pac-12 network actually on, you know, TV platforms where everybody can see it in the Pac-12 footprint. I mean, anecdotally, like, I live in Los Angeles. I love, you know, college sports, obviously. I mean, we basically, and as a household, you know, did everything we could to make sure we would have access to the Pac-12 network, which is not easy, you know, relative to, like, you end up, this is like a stupid conversation, but you end up like, you know, I want to watch this, but I can't because the Pac-12 network wasn't going to be on that. Well, that's part of my job to make sure, you know, that I had access to it. It's just like,
right.
That issue with the Pac-12 network, getting it available to people in the footprint. Like, I felt like Jake was in high school when that was probably being talked about, right? And it was constant. Larry Scott was getting asked about it all the time. Whenever Larry Scott showed up in a press box, within the first three questions, it would be like, what's up with Pac-12 network distributions? It was a broken record.
Yeah.
Like, fix that. It's not going to say it's going to change everything, but, like, you know, the Pac-12 is good in a lot of sports, and this is a platform to showcase it, you know, and fix it. And there's some good programming on there. It's not like to say that they don't have good people on the air. It's just the distribution has been a joke, and that's something that he knows he needs to fix.
Now, Bruce, you know, you've given us a lot of good content and a lot of good information here on the Pac-12, but you wrote this really interesting article with Chris Peterson, and I highly recommend it to anybody. Bruce does an outstanding job with all of his articles, but this was an awesome article with Chris Peterson. What stood out to you the most when you talked to him?
Thank you for the kind words first. The thing that really to me, got me was Chris Peterson showing A, a lot of self-awareness, and also B, you know, showing some things that are, you know, are vulnerable, where, you know, a lot of times college football coaches especially never want to, like, show any vulnerability or show any kind of, like, you know, they always have to do the right thing and be seen as projecting strength. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about some of these things in great detail about, you know, we're talking about one of the most successful coaches in the history of college football. And he's talking about, like, geez, am I, you know, did I do some of this all wrong? And going through his thought process and his challenges. And the key thing, and this story, Jake, I think that what really was a pleasant surprise was I knew that some people would want to know, hey, what drove his decision and what has he been doing for the last 18 months? But as we got into it and as the story started to take shape of our conversation, what I was pleasantly surprised to see was how many people, not just football coaches, whether they're high school football coaches or college coaches or whatever, but how many people this hit home to. Like, before I even tweeted out the story, it was somewhere on our site, and I heard from somebody who works in the NFL who was like, oh, my God, this really felt like it was me. I heard from a college basketball coach at a high level yesterday who said, I feel like I'm headed on the road to where he is. I heard from one of my colleagues who's an announcer who said, this guy is a very successful, kind of living his dream job person with everything going for him. And he said, I felt like Chris Peterson was talking right to me. And to hear that from so many people, because it was the work-life balance aspect of this, you don't have to be a football coach to identify with what he was talking to. And so I've been really blown away by the responses to that article. It just, you know, it's like it doesn't have very much to do with football. It has much to do with humanity and how we are wired. And I give him a lot of credit for opening up and trying to help people.
Yeah, you certainly don't have to be a football coach to have it resonate with you. I read it and I felt the same way you did, Bruce, right? Where you're hearing it and you're thinking, I felt that way before. But I will say what I loved about it was the idea that I do think we brush over work-life balance as just, oh, well, this is a normal sacrifice you make when you're a head coach. And for a lot of people, it goes way too far. If you guys, it's on The Athletic. It's called Chris Peterson Reflects on the Busyness, the Imbalance, and the Out-of-Control Recruiting Grind of College Football. Obviously, you can find the link on Bruce Feldman's Twitter, at Bruce Feldman CFB. But if you go on The Athletic and search Chris Peterson, it's like the first article to pop up. Can't recommend it enough. Bruce, thank you so much for joining Jake and I. We've loved this conversation. We've learned more about Chris Peterson, who is a special guy here for this city, but also certainly more about the new Pac-12 commissioner who's going to have some big, important decisions to make. We appreciate the time.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys. I appreciate talking to you.
Thanks. All right, Bruce. We want to send you to next Wednesday's Mariners game, so call 206-421-3776 or 866-979-3776. In 1 minute, if you're listening on the radio, or 30 seconds if you're listening on the stream, caller number three will win a pair of tickets to see the Mariners host Detroit on May 19th. We're giving away a pair of tickets every hour all day, so stay tuned right here, 710 ESPN Seattle, for your next chance to win. We are also taking you around the diamond, thanks to the Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. The Mariners are taking on Cleveland tonight in the series opener. Logan Gilbert going to make his first major league start. First pitch will be at 7:10 p.m. Pregame show starts at 6 p.m. right here on 710 ESPN Seattle. And that's Around the Diamond, brought to you by the Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. Back to the Mariners, back to Gilbert, back to Kelnick. Rick Riz going to be joining us next.